Ukrainians Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. Within the last few days, the world has unveiled Ukrainians as a nation of courageous and indomitable people who relentlessly struggle for their freedom. We showed our enemy what they should expect if they jeopardize our dignity, a core value of Ukrainians. A lot of people worldwide now follow the news from Ukrainian hotspots, but we believe that without understanding our identity and the circumstances that formed us, the world won't be able to understand us enough, which will limit the prospects of support and cooperation. So, what makes us who we are? What is the bottom line of the Ukrainian people's dignity? In this podcast, we will tell you about the milestones which form our identity and make us a part of the European community. The swarm of swords that prompt disobedience. The yellow-blue flags that gleam are seen all over the place, and the people with an infinite urge for freedom. They strived for freedom, strived not to be smeared by the unjust regime of Yanukovych. Under the pressure of the barricades, the rumble of Molotov cocktails, the strength of the gunman queues, Ukrainians continued manifesting their values. Though the degraded legal system was powerless ahead of the resistance of people who survived the winter on fire. Because Ukraine is a territory of dignity and freedom. The Revolution of Dignity is a mass civil protest that lasted 94 days. From the 21st of November 2013 to the 22nd of February 2014. Initially, it was called Euromaidan as an unfavorable scenario of renouncing the euro integration. But it evolved into a genuine revolution of values and got heartily named Revolution of Dignity, and is also referred to as Maidan. The backdrop for it was a sharp change in the foreign policy course and the unconstitutional actions of the authorities conveyed in a violence against citizens. Nota bene, Euromaidan was supposed to be a peaceful protest. However, the government decided to use brutal coercive power. The center of events was the capital's Independence Square and the surrounding streets. Yet the actions took place in the cities of the whole country. Every Ukrainian understood their own dignity and therefore their responsibility in building their country. So, what can we say about Ukrainian identity while addressing the Revolution of Dignity? Let's turn the page of the Revolution of Dignity. Ukrainians chose democracy over authoritarianism. Ukrainians in their political culture are predisposed to horizontal social structure rather than hierarchical or vertical structure. In a nutshell, decentralization over centralization. So they decided to resist Yanukovych's authoritarian regime. During the rule of President Yanukovych, human rights violations, restrictions on freedom of speech, and corruption were common things. The government enforced censorship in mass media and silenced the opposition. But the breaking point was dissatisfaction with one person choosing the vector of the development of the entire country. Yanukovych attempted to back away from his earlier promise to sign an association agreement with the EU. And Ukrainian strong will to participate in political life and to be responsible for the future raised. Crowds flew to the streets of Kyiv.
Today, our authorities have betrayed us. Yanukovych has betrayed us not only because his regime has been humiliating us for 3.5 years in the national realm, not only deprived us of civil rights, destroyed social justice, and eliminated the Ukrainian economy. The regime's supporters arrest the dissent, and while busting them, they put sacks onto their heads. Many of them are missing people. Today, the regime proponents drop to the knees ahead of Putin, ahead of the Kremlin. They play into the hands of the enemy and betray Ukraine. We, Ukrainians, are a European nation, and we will fight for our future. Ukraine is Europe.
The noise of the crowd resounded throughout the Maidan. Ukrainians started to protest and Kyiv rebelled not only due to European orientation, whose culmination was to be the summit in Vilnius, the starting point for the EU-Ukraine association agreement. The protest was a reflection of the sentiments of 2013-2014, the desire to eradicate inner corruption and stop the outrage of the law enforcement agencies. It was a social change from below that showed Ukrainian freedom loving and readiness to take responsibility. Ukrainians, as early as in 2013, showed their unwillingness to be in a Russian orbit on influence. The Revolution of Dignity was another historic geopolitical turn away from Russia towards Europe. Yanukovych constantly imposed pro-Russian policy. A typical example is the Kharkiv Treaty that extended the Russian lease of naval facilities in Crimea.
The bandits acted the way the bandits behaved. Boxers, fighters, and other well-trained people came with the badges of the People's Deputies of Ukraine. And they claimed that they fought for something. When asking them, "What are you fighting for?" they can't find the answer.
Ukraine was pulling into the dark hole of the Russian world. However, Revolution of Dignity prevented a slide back into Kremlin tight hugs. Ukrainians turned back from the Russian plague and authoritarianism, and they are not looking forward to Russia coming and bringing order.
Russian warship? Иди нахуй!
Also, the Revolution of Dignity revealed the ability of Ukrainians to mobilize and solidarity with each other. Ukrainians self-organized on the 2 square kilometers island of freedom in the center of the capital, Maidan Square. Ukrainians established a totally new deliberate structure, samooborona or self-defense of the Maidan. Its main task was to safeguard the perimeter and barricades in Kyiv, protect citizens from the violent attacks mounted by security forces and law enforcement control. Ukrainians stood united in the harsh times on the Maidan, and later on, after the revolution, Ukrainians launched the formation of democratic institutions and the development of the volunteer movement. Solidarity, self-organization are democratic values. Don't you agree? Humanity in the cruelest inhuman times? The events of the Revolution of Dignity revolved around a bloody backdrop. Barkutivtsi, the henchmen of the then regime, criminal authorities, exerted an assault of peaceful protests. Crippled, kidnapped and tortured people who said no to dictatorship. The fundamental civil rights, freedom of speech, freedom of gatherings and right to life and liberty were totally violated.
I had seen my dad on the TV before I came to Dasha. I dragged him behind the Thuyas. Then I had tried to call on the police, but no one came. Eventually, some morticians arrived from morgue, but it was just at 8 p.m.
Nonetheless, even within totally unhuman times, Maidan remained the area of humanity and heartiness. In this way, art was one of the tools that disarmed the opponents of the Revolution of Dignity. Markian Macech, the famous pianist of Maidan, decided to perch his beloved piano at the very epicenter of the turbulent events, at the Lutheranska Street. Just in the front of the pianist, there was a full column of gunmen lined up in the few rows. But he calmly nestled near the piano and played his favorite piece, Chopin's Opus No. 64. Though after ill-fated battles with Barkutivtsi, Markian's lovely instrument was crashed. This deed was a mark highlighting that on the one side there is a bunch of ready-to-kill people who awaited a signal to do it. On the other, people that decently accept the challenge of fighting for their dignity and freedom. The culmination of the Maidan was the first death of civilians, after which people became even more active. Although, according to the plans of the then government, we chose the pro-Russian vector and aimed to ally with Russia, we should have been scared to oppose dictatorship and had to conditionally go under the Russian protectorate. The beginning of the Euromaidan resistance to the security fighters became a significant factor in the events of Maidan. A 100 heroes who sacrificed their lives in the fight against the tyranny of power and for the future of the country were named Heavenly 100. They have become our living shield against the dictatorship. Because without resisting the illegal actions of the authorities, Ukrainians would not have achieved their goal. The clearest illustration of what Ukraine has avoided thanks to the Revolution of Dignity is the fate of Belarus, which has had close ties with Russia for many years. When Lukashenko, then president of Belarus, was not officially re-elected for another term, he began to hold power by force. Hundreds of thousands of Belarusians protested, but over time national police began to kill and detain them, and thus Belarusians had not managed to overthrow the dictator. Now, the same dictator, Lukashenko, introduces his troops to Ukraine, although even Belarusians agree that such actions of Lukashenko are nothing but flirting with Russian dictator and betrayal of the interests of ordinary Belarusians. And the fact that for us Ukrainians freedom and dignity are more valuable than life defines our identity. That factor is becoming especially important now, when Russia announced war with Ukraine, when occupants started killing our civilians, when they destroyed everything to capture us. At the same time, we just come out without weapons with the Ukrainian flag in our hands, we block the passage of Russian tanks. We sing the national anthem on the city square, which occupants want to conquer. We even cannot enroll in territorial defense because there are enough people who want to protect their homeland. And every Ukrainian now is fighting on their own military, diplomatic or informational fronts. All this evidence proves that we Ukrainians fight to the last breath. For the sake of the liberty of our nation and craving for freedom proves that in this war we won't give up. Follow this podcast and share it with all your acquaintances. Ukrainians have the dignity and the world should know about it. Glory to Ukraine!